Okay, so this is our first topic on the first shir on the topic of mitzvah matzah. Our last two topics have been dealing with Dirabanans of Haseba and Dalakosa. So I figured for the last sugi of the year, of the summer, let's shift gears to Dinam Da'oraisa. Okay, so with that in mind, we're going to discuss the mitzvah of matzah before getting into the details of Lechem Oni, which come up in our Dapim. I'd like to start off with a short hakdama in terms of the overall nature of the mitzvah of matzah, and hopefully with this background, with this hakdama, with this introduction, we'll have a better focus when we start analyzing the particular dinim of lechem oni. So with that, we're going to develop two general approaches, shocker, in terms of the nature and focus of the mitzvah matzah. The first approach is going to be that the mitzvah of matzah is exclusively focused on the theme of ge'ula. So again, according to this first approach, the exclusive focus of the mitzvah of matzah is on the theme of ge'ula. And according to this approach, any dinim or any references to the theme of shibud, which is the opposite of ge'ula, are going to remain external to the mitzvah of matzah itself. Right? And this first approach, again, which thinks that the mitzvah of matzah is exclusively focused on the theme of ge'ula, while any reference to shibud is considered an external factor, really is highlighted by a particular group of mefarshim who think that the din of lechem oni, right, the din of lechem oni, which theme does lechem oni represent? Shibud or ge'ula? Shibud, right? So the following group of mefarshim, we'll see there's certain deos in the Yerushalmi and the Maral, hold that the dinim of lechem oni are not ma'akev. We'll read this inside in just a moment, right? Because the mefarshim who think that the din of lechem oni is not ma'akev is a great highlight of this first approach, which says that the reason why lechem oni isn't ma'akev is because the sole exclusive focus of the mitzvah of matzah is on the theme of geula. And therefore the din of lechem oni, which is the opposite of geula, which is all about the theme of Shibud, that can integrate into the mitzvah of matzah itself, and therefore these mefarshim are going to say that the dinim of lechem oni are an external kiyum. There's a mitzvah lechatchila, but aren't ma'akev the mitzvah of matzah itself. So again, if you look at the Yerushalmi, again, the second half on the Mar Makom Mashi, the Yerushalmi quotes two deos, again, a total of three deos, and two of the three deos think that the din of lechem oni is only lechatchila, is not ma'akev. Ari, we do a quick read of the Yerushalmi. Right, so this is the classic din of matzah ashira, right? The psul of having your matzah be kneaded with these various juices. So that's right. That's a classic din of lechem oni.
Right,
so the first two deos of Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi hold up what? This din is only
for a mitzvah, but it's not ma'akev.
Right, it's only lechatchila, it's only lemitzvah. All right, in contrast to Rabbi Yudah.
Rabbi Yudah ben Pazi Omer, the Ikub is Hamid, it's also ma'akev.
Right, which is the classical. But again, the first two deos here, which hold that lechem oni is not ma'akev, we're suggesting that the reason behind that, the reason why they don't think the lechem oni is ma'akev, is because they think the mitzvah of matzah is exclusively focused on the theme of ge'ula, and therefore any reference to shibud is not integrated into the mitzvah itself. A second, later makor for this idea, which already reaches the page of the Shulchan Aruch, is the Maral. The Maral, we'll see in the second source here, is quoted in the Magen Avraham, and we'll get to it later. But the Maral, again, we're just quoting for now, just one line, where the Maral adopts this approach that the dinim of lechem oni are not makev. Ari, again, that first line, the Maral here on the Mar Makomos. So, a striking formulation. It says, in a case where you're stuck, you only have matzah ashira. So says Maral, don't think that there's no value in eating it, because even though you're not going to be mekayim, the independent mitzvah of lechem oni, you're still going to be mekayim the mitzvah of matzah. So it's clear from Maral's formulation, right, that the din of lechem oni is an external, separate kiyum, but the mitzvah of matzah itself is separate from lechem oni. Again, according in line with this first approach, that the sole exclusive focus of the mitzvah of matzah is on the theme of geula, and therefore any reference to shibud is going to be external, is only going to be a side kiyum. fine. This is pretty pashut. But according to this first approach, that the focus of the mitzvah of matzah is on the gula. So basic question, so why does matzah represent the gula? Simple question. Exactly, right? Because the idea referenced in many psukim, for example, Shmos, Perikid Beis, Pasuk Lamites, right? Many psukim describe that the reason why matzah it commemorates the Geula is because during the Geula took place so quickly, it was a b'chipazon, it was such, you know, there's such quick pace that their bread did not have time to rise. So again, that just, you know, within this approach, that the sole focus of matzah is on the theme of Geula. Again, the reason why matzah symbolizes Geula is because, you know, during the Geula, our bread did not have time to rise. Just read the quick pasuk, Perikid Beis, pasuk lamed tes. It says, "Right, vayofu es abatzek asher hotziyo mi mitzrayim." Right, they baked their bread when they were leaving. Ugos matzos. Right, they only baked matzos. Kilo chametz. Right, their bread did not have time to rise. Because they left so quickly and they didn't have time to wait around. Right? They got saved the law so them and they didn't have any extra provisions. But again, that's the reason why matzah is a simple idea. There's a reason why matzah represents the gula. Okay. Adkan is the first approach. The second approach we're going to develop is that, don't say that the mitzvah of matzah is exclusively focused on the theme of gula, because really there are two themes within the mitzvah of matzah. According to the second approach, within the mitzvah of matzah, you have two distinct themes, both the theme of gula and the theme of shibud. According to the second approach, right, the theme of gula is represented exactly like we said before, is because during the process of gula, right, we carried matzos out of Mitzrayim. And the reason why does matzah also represent shibud? In two Hebrew words. Lechemoni. Exactly. Right? Right. The same way that matzah represents the geula because of that fast-paced nature of the geula, resulted in us only carrying out matzahs, that same idea also commemorates the shibud, because during our shibud, because we didn't have time, we didn't control our own time, so therefore the only thing we ate was matzah, was lechem oni. So again, according to the second approach, right, the mitzvah of matzah has two themes within it, both the theme of geula and the theme of shibud. Just wait 1 second. And again, a great highlight of this second approach is the fact, right, that the mitzvah of matzah has both themes of geula and shibud, is the fact that according to the normative approach, the din of lechem oni is ma'akev. Right, so according to the normative approach that the din of lechem oni is ma'akev the mitzvah of matzah, that would seem to imply that the din of lechem oni and its respective theme of shibud integrates into the mitzvah of matzah, and therefore alongside the classical theme of matzah of geula, you also have integrated the theme of shibud as represented by the din of lechem oni, again, which according to most mefarshim is ma'akev. Just one more pasuk, and then I'll take you, Aaron. Again, if you were to point to one pasuk in the Torah which really highlights the second approach, that within the mitzvah of matzah you have two themes, the theme of geula and the theme of shibud, is the pasuk in Dvarim, Perek Tes Zayin, pasuk Gimel. Again, in this pasuk, when it's describing the mitzvah of matzah, back to back, the Torah describes matzah both in terms of the theme of cheirus and in terms of the theme of shibud, i.e. lechem oni. Again, in Dvarim, Perek Tes Zayin, pasuk Gimel, it says shivas yamim tochel alav matzos. For 7 days, you're supposed to eat matzos. Those matzos are lechem oni, represent poor man's bread, literally, right? The theme of shibud, and then it directly transitions into ki bichipazon yatzasa me'eretz Mitzrayim. Because we left Mitzrayim very quickly, Matiskros Yom Seischal Meretz Mitzrayim, Kol Yimei Chayecha. Again, this overall eating of the matzah is a commemoration of the gula. So again, in the same pasuk which is describing matzah, right, the pasuk describes both references the theme of shibud, i.e., the din of lechem oni, and the theme of geula, the fact that matzah was the bread we took out of Mitzrayim. Yeah.
So the shibud aspect of it. So that's true. Like in Mitzrayim, during all those years, we were only eating matzah.
Yeah. Yeah. right? You can insert your own family nigun to it resonates more, but right, that's what we say halachmania, right? It's funny because like you take a step back. Well, like hit me when at one point I'm like, wait a second, you always think of matzah. Yeah, you take it out, you know, we eat it, you know, we ate it on the way out of Mitzrayim. Then you're like, wait a second, halachmania says that was also like the poor man's bread. That's also what we ate in Mitzrayim. Like, and you wonder like, which one is it? Is matzah about the gula, or is it about the cheres? Sorry, or is it about the shibud? Is it both? And if it's right, so again, the first approach is going to say, no, really the focus of the mitzvah of matzah is all on the gula. But the second approach is the more normative approach, as seen in the fact that lechem oni is ma'akev according to most, says, no, within the same mitzvah of matzah, you have these two disparate, seemingly contradictory themes, both gula and shibud. And we're going to describe, just if, like, it hit me once, like, whoa, how do you understand that? And I'd like to now discuss that. Right, and within the second approach, have to really now try to analyze. So, what's the nature of the integration of these two themes? Right, and you can just ask, you know, frame it as follows: how within a single mitzvah of matzah do you have two opposite themes? How can you have a mitzvah of matzah, according to the second approach, commemorate two opposite things? On the one hand, you have the lechem oni, you have the shibud components. On the other hand, you have the gula component. But what type of mitzvah, when else do you have a mitzvah like this where within the same mitzvah you have two contradictory opposite themes? So again, that raises the question of, so what is the nature of integration? How do you have these two opposite themes within a single mitzvah? And again, just a way to highlight this question, if you look at the Maharal, if you look back at the source sheet, I was actually very excited when I found this. Remember, the same Maharal who thinks that Lechem Oni is not Ma'akev seems to be bothered by the connection between Lechem Oni and the mitzvah of matzah and its theme of Geula. If you look at the second line, Ari, if you don't mind.
How is the matzah, which is Lechem Oni, shaykh to Geula?
Right, so the Maharal, I think, perfectly encapsulates this issue. I'm like, wait a second. What is the connection between the Lechem Oni / Shibud theme and the Geula? And I would like to suggest that perhaps the Maharal is Lashitaso. The Maharal who's very attuned to the contradiction between these two themes is the same Maharal who therefore adopts approach number one and says, yeah, you can't have a single mitzvah of matzah which has two contradictory themes. So therefore the Maharal says, approach number one, the core of mitzvah of matzah is only focused on the gula. Lechem oni is just a side mitzvah. But still, we still have the question though. According to most Mefarshim, who think that the din of Lechem Oni is ma'akev and that does integrate into the mitzvah. So you have the Maharal's question. How do you have the mitzvah of matzah, the single mitzvah of matzah, which with two contradictory themes? So I'd like to now suggest, you know, two different explanations. So we'll end up being two different versions of the second approach. The first suggestion is that the reason why you have two contradictory themes within the same mitzvah is because the whole point is of these two contradictory themes is to highlight the contrast. The whole point of having within the mitzvah of matzah both a reference to the shibud and a reference to geula, which at first glance seems to be contradictory, is because you can only appreciate, right, the high of the geula if you appreciate how low the shibud was. So again, according to this first approach, the reason why within the same mitzvah you have two contradictory themes is because the whole point of the mitzvah is to highlight that contrast. Because only by appreciating the theme of Shibud, by appreciating how bad things were, can you thereby appreciate what the Geula meant to us as a nation. So again, according to this first version, we'll call it version 2a, is that, right, within the mitzvah of matzah, you basically have these two contradictory themes, which remain two distinct themes, two distinct dinim, because the whole point of both of the dinim being part of the mitzvah of matzah is all about the contrast. That through the contrast, you can appreciate the ultimate geula. And again, I think a mefarish which really highlights that the purpose of these themes is really the contrast between these two themes is the Sfarno. Right? The Sfarno on the Pasuk and Dvarim, again, Tes Zayin Gimel, again, is trying to understand just on a pshat level, how do you have in the same Pasuk, the Pasuk at first describing matzah in terms of Lechem Oni, and then immediately jumps to discussing Geula. He's trying to understand what's this idea, this contrast in the Pasuk itself between the Shibud and this silent transition between the Shibud to the Geula. Do you have the Sfarno?
Yeah.
Get that?
Which one?
Svarno, starting about Tam Lahaskir. Oh, sorry, I didn't realize there were multiple ones. See, about Tam Lahaskir, Chipazon Alechem?
Yeah, Tam Lahaskir, Chipazon Alechem. Huki.
Tsumuras?
Tsumuras also, Chipazon Haoni, Hayalacha.
Acharka.
Hayalacha, Acharka, Chipazon Hagula. So after this Chipazon of Oni, there is this Chipazon of Gula. Kimavati, all of the Sassan, they turn the Ava to Sassan.
Right, so I think the Svarno really highlights this his first idea, that it's all about the contrast. The Svarno says, the same exact nekuda, the same exact point of chipazon, lack of time, which was the reason why Klal Yisrael ate lechem oni, ate matzah during the Shibud, that same exact factor of chipazon, of lack of time, was turned on its head from being the reason why, as poor men, you eat matzah, to the reason why during the geula you also eat matzah. So again, for the Svarno, it's all about the contrast. It's all about the exact, it's the same factor of chipazon, but two opposite manifestations. It's all about highlighting that the same exact chipazon which resulted in the halach manya, in the lechem oni, is the exact same chipazon which ended up defining the geula. So again, I think that Svarno just highlights this first, you know, version, we'll call it 2A, which is that the reason why the mitzvah of matzah has two disparate, contradictory themes, because the whole point, the whole ultimate kiyum is by contrasting those two themes, by understanding how bad it was, i.e. the shibud, to thereby appreciate how good or how amazing the gula was. But again, according to this first approach, the din of lechem oni, the shibud theme, and the geula theme of matzah are going to remain two disparate, distinct dinim, because it's all about the contrast. You'll see why I'm saying it like that. Oh. So that's going to, you know, bring us to the second version. I'll call it, you know, approach 2B, which we're going to, you know, try to develop at length here. And that is not that the two themes of shibud and geula represent opposites, and it's all about contrasting the two opposites, but it's rather, bear with me, it sounds like this doesn't make sense, but we'll explain it, but rather that in some way there's a full integration between these two dinim. There's a full integration between the two themes of shibud and geula, in the sense, and I'll explain what this means in just a moment, in the sense that in some way the shibud redefines the geula. In some way, the theme of shibud sheds light on the geula. Again, at this point, that doesn't make any sense, but we'll explain exactly what we mean by that. So again, according to this second version, again, instead of looking at the two dinim, the two themes of shibud and geula, as distinct, disparate themes, which is all about the contrast, that's, you know, 2A, 2B is going to say, no, it's all about integrating those two themes. It's all about integrating the themes of shibud and geula, because in some way, shibud redefines and sheds light on the nature of the geula. And we'll explain exactly what that means. Again, we're going to see nafka mina coming out of this about, between these two different versions, about whether the lechem oni completely integrates, you know, into the geula theme, or whether, you know, the shibud and geula themes remain disparate. We'll get back to that. Just to quote, you know, two makoros, which highlight, you know, right, this second version of this, like, complete integration of the shibud and the geula, to highlight this approach. So the first, starting with the Rambam. Anyone have the Rambam in Chametz Matzah? So the Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, you know, brings down his version of the Haggadah. So again, many note that the Rambam's nusach of Halach Manya is different than our version. So we're going to see there's one difference which is in all the Girsos, and a second difference which is only in the Kisvei Yad HaTeimanim. Right, again, I'm not such a scholar. This is like a famous, you know, Kisvei Yad HaTeimanim, of Teiman. Again, the Rav quotes it, so again, don't give me too much credit. So the first Girsos, if you just look at the, you know, the text even that the Frankel has, right, he starts with Bibihilu. You see that part? Tzvi, do you have it?
Which halacha?
This is the nusach haggadah of the Rambam. At the end of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, he quotes the nusach of the haggadah.
So it's like perek halacha.
It's called the nusach haggadah.
Okay.
In different places, it says the nusach tefillah. Meaning, different places. This is just at the end of Hilchos Chametz Matzah. It's the nusach of the haggadah. Yeah.
Right.
So what's Bibihilu Yatzanu Mitzrayim? Right, we left quickly, and then he transitions to what? Right, right. Diachlu ba'arav dimitzrayim. Fine. Or halachmanya ba'arav dimitzrayim. Right. So already, the Rav points out that it's really strange. Then halachmanya, which in our girsa just speaks about right halachmanya diachlu avasanad ba'arav dimitzrayim, which just means this is the poor man's bread that we ate in Mitzrayim. So again, our version of halachmanya is solely focused on the theme of shibud. No reference to the gula until right the end. But the Rambam sticks in, before mentioning halachmanya, sticks in the theme of gula. Bibihilu yatsanu mimitzrayim. So again, already the Rav points out that the Rambam's girsa is trying to portray, again, is trying to highlight the existence of these two themes. So within the mitzvah of matzah, right, that we're about to pick up, it's not only the halachmanya, it's not just the shibud component, not just the shibud, you know, theme, but it's also the bihilu yatsanu mimitzrayim is also the gula theme. But so far, again, this highlights the general approach number two, that within matzah, you have these two different themes, but doesn't necessarily tell us anything about whether they're integrated, about in any way does the shibud in any way redefine the gula. But that brings us to the kisveyad hateimanim. So anyone seeing the shinuye nischos? So it adds an important phrase, right? After halachmanya diachlu avasana, you see it? What it adds? See, dinafku me ara dimitzrayim. Now translate that. This is halach ma'anya diachlu avasana. This is the poor man's bread that our forefathers ate. Not, right, our version says they eat this in Mitzrayim. That makes sense, when they were slaves. What's this version say? When did they eat this? See? Dinafku as they left. It's a fascinating formulation of the Rambam, that we're saying that when Klal Yisrael were leaving during the Geula, they were, what were they eating? Lechem Oni. See, here is a perfect raya to this idea that Lechem Oni isn't just the historical contrast. It's not that, or according to the Sfar, no, that, oh, when we celebrate the Geula, we think back to how bad it was in the past when we were slaves, and it's all about, oh, how far we have come, version 2a. According to this version 2b, which is highlighted by this, you know, girsa of the Rambam, is that no, that the Lechem Oni was part of the Geula. That when we left, we weren't just eating, oh, funny, it was the same bread. No, we were eating Lechem Oni. And the question, obviously, like, what does that mean? What does that mean that there was a Lechem Oni which was part of the Geula? Yeah. But again, there's a ref. So you're saying he's just trying to translate everything into Geula terms? Correct, but I'm saying isn't halo dover who that when we're describing the geula, we're making reference to lechem oni. So that's significant, right? That somehow lechem oni is part of the geula, and the question we have to now understand is, like, what does that mean? What does that mean? The lechem oni is part of the geula. That somehow lechem oni slash shibud redefines the geula. Oh. So again, there are different ways to say this. The way we're going to focus on for now, again, is refresh. So again, I had you see this, you know, one of my favorite, you know, Shmuel Rafael Hirsch's. Again, when I presented this idea to my father-in-law, you know, he also liked the idea and he had it, you know, he said the integration in a slightly different way. I just didn't want to get too confusing. But again, if you look carefully at this Rav Hirsch's explanation of what matzah is all about, I'm going to suggest that, again, this is all stemming from this notion of that the theme of Shibud, the theme of Lechem Oni, according to Rav Hirsch, redefines our perspective on the Geula. So let's just read the Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch inside. Willie, would you mind?
Not sure. Matzah symbolizes avdus, social independence.
Okay, so if you stop there, if you're just very careful, just, I don't need to be medayek too carefully, but matzah symbolizes avdus. For Rav Hirsch, matzah is defined as lechem oni. right? And the idea is when it says that it, you know, that it symbolizes avdus, symbolizes dependence, right? The idea being, right, is that, meaning what the difference between matzah and chametz is the time, whether it has time to rise. And again, the idea according to Refersh is that a person who bakes matzah is someone who doesn't have time to allow his bread to rise because he doesn't control his own time, he's dependent on other people. And therefore, because matzah, which is all about not having time to rise, represents dependence on others because matzah is baked by someone who doesn't control his own time and therefore is dependent on other people. Fine. Continue.
The opposite of matzah is chametz, which accordingly symbolizes social independence.
Okay. Right, because the idea being that chametz is baked by someone who does control his own time and therefore, according to Refersh, chametz represents independence.
Day of our rise of freedom and independence introduces a whole cycle of days, or Pesach, but it introduces it not with a symbol of freedom, with the removal of a symbol of independence, with the removal of chametz.
Mm-hmm.
In this way, we are to remind ourselves that at the moment of our rise of freedom and independence, neither in our personalities nor in our possessions, but the slightest trace of independence. It was only the omnipotence of that raised us to freedom and independence.
Okay. All right, so according to Refersh, I think it's a beautiful idea. I just have to conceptualize it, just, you know, work it out within the sugya. But Refersh is basically saying that the irony of ironies is that on the day, on the Chag of Pesach, where we all celebrate Geula, so you would think that it's all about Geula, all about independence, all about freedom, so you should embrace a symbol of independence of freedom. But according to Refersh, it ends up being the opposite. Right, if matzah is the symbol of independence and freedom, if chametz is the symbol of independence and freedom, it's ironic that on Pesach, the chag of independence and freedom, we reject the symbol of independence, i.e. chametz, and embrace the symbol of dependence, which is the symbol of matzah. What's that idea? But says Refersh, because what we're trying to do is trying to, again, shed light on the geula, to highlight that when we celebrate our geula, our, you know, freedom, we were dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, says Refersh, again, which sounds like a drushy idea, but again, it's going to translate back into all the Makoros here, which ends up saying that what matzah represents, through matzah representing lechem oni, by matzah representing shibud, our dependence on others, that redefines the geula to say that our geula, when we're celebrating our independence, we're not, in Lundish terms, we're not celebrating our geula like b'toras chirus, that we were free people, that we brought, as free people, we brought about our geula ourselves, but rather we're celebrating our geula b'toras shibud, in the sense that we were dependent, we were mashabed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in this way, to conceptualize, according to Refersh saying is that the theme of Sheba, the theme of the din of Lechem Oni, completely redefines the Geula. So it's all about shedding light on the Geula to dictate that the Geula wasn't one where we brought it about ourselves, but rather we were dependent, we were Meshaved to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, to conceptualize what's going on, is that this is the way to explain approach 2b, what we're saying now, is it not that matzah has two distinct themes of shibud and geula, which remain distinct, but rather that the theme of shibud, the din of lechem oni, redefines the geula, right? According to, in Refersh's, understanding, basically redefines that when we celebrate our geula, we're focusing on our dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But again, what's coming out is this idea that the lechem oni, that the shibud component of matzah, isn't just a historical past for contrast, but rather that redefines the essence of the geula. Okay. So now, with this understanding, right, according to this approach 2b, we're going to, what emerges then, is that Lechem Oni isn't simply, right, the Din Lechem Oni, which has this theme of Shibud, right, isn't simply an external kiyum, like it is for approach number one. It's not even a distinct Din within Matzah, like it is for approach 2a, right, because approach 2a, there's a Din of Lechem Oni, which is separate from the Din of Geula. But according to this approach 2b, that the din of lechem oni really redefines the entire mitzvah of matzah. Because the entire mitzvah of matzah, even the geula aspect of matzah is redefined by the din of lechem oni, by the theme of shibud. Once we have this background, once we understand this idea that the theme of shibud within matzah, and thereby the din of lechem oni, again, redefines the entire mitzvah of matzah, I think this is going to help us understand the fact that when we now analyze all the dinim of lechem oni, we're going to see that what emerges from all the makoros, I suggest, is that the dinim of lechem oni have a really large or outsized role within the mitzvah of matzah. It's not a prot here and a prot there, but rather that the dinim of lechem oni completely take over the entire mitzvah of matzah. I'd like to suggest that you can only really understand why lechem oni has such an outsized role within the sugya of matzah, really if you take this approach to B, which sees lechem oni not as an external din, for sure not like approach number one, and not even as a separate din like approach to A, but with like approach to B we're trying to develop, that the din lechem oni and the theme of Sheba completely redefines the whole mitzvah of matzah and the whole theme of gula. And just to summarize what we're going to be doing in the next couple of days, is we're really going to try to go through the dinim of lechem oni and prove through the dinim that really lechem oni has this outsized role. And just to summarize that now, and then we'll go into the details. Right, one category in which you see lechem oni's outsized role is, we'll call it, the scope of dinim impacted by lechem oni. We're going to see there's a tremendous scope of dinim impacted by lechem oni, and within the scope of dinim impacted by lechem oni, they're different, you know, in different ways. I mean, this call it, you know, can scope of dinim is called category one, you know, 1A. I mean this in a quantitative sense. We're going to see there are many, many different dinim emerging from this one phrase of lechem oni. Again, highlighting that this is a very important theme. It isn't just a small prat in the corner, but really a definitional, you know, din. And therefore, we're going to find many, many dinim which emerge from it. So again, 1A from a quantitative sense. 1B from a qualitative sense, that we're going to see that there are many different types of dinim which emerge from lechem oni. Again, we're going to see that the dinim fall into, you know, there's those dinim which relate to the cheftza of matzah. There are dinim which relate to the ofen of the maisa achila. We're going to see other dinim which pertain to the maisa afia, to the hachana of matzah. We're going to see other dinim which connect to Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. So again, both from a quantitative level in terms of the vast number of dinim which emerge from lechem oni. Number two, from a qualitative, the different types of dinim, again, all different realms. Chefza oriented, maisa achila oriented, hachana / maisa afia oriented, yachas to Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim oriented, again, all these different ways. And then, you know, we'll call 1C, is the, we're going to see, hopefully today, a number of even kol hashana dinim, such as Lecha Mishnah, such as the Birchas Enen, and even Kol Hashanah Dinim, which are completely redefined by Lechem Oni. Again, if Lechem Oni was simply this side prat in Matzah, so it would be strange to find Lechem Oni redefining all these basic Dinim. But again, once you see Lechem Oni as being definitional, as being really the Hagdara of Matzah, the main theme which redefines everything within Matzah, so then it would make sense for it to also redefine all these other Dinim. And beyond, you know, called the scope of dinim impacted by lechem oni, we're also going to analyze the nature of lechem oni. And we're going to see what's going to emerge from a number of makoros, is that the dinim of lechem oni, according to certain makoros, go beyond the mitzvah of matzah itself to be independent din of lechem oni. Which at first glance seems to be a very strange idea. Right, we're going to see it's not just a prat within the mitzvah of matzah, but it's a din bifnei atzma, lechem oni is, which goes beyond the mitzvah of matzah, both in terms of nafkamina, you know, and in terms of timing. Like, you know, we'll see certain makos which suggest that the din of lechem oni is going to apply kol shiva, even on the tzad, that the mitzvah of matzah is limited to lel rishon. So again, all these different factors we're going to now prove that when you analyze the sugya of lechem oni, what emerges is that lechem oni has an outsized role within the world of matzah, which again, and therefore, seem to be, know, serve as evidence for this approach to be. We're trying to suggest that this theme of Shibud isn't just a sign theme, but again, completely redefines, you know, the entire theme of Geula, of the Chag itself. Okay. Ad kan the Akdamar. Sorry if that was a little longer than expected. So now let's get into the dinim of Lechem Oni itself. Okay, so we're analyzing the dinim of Lechem Oni. So I'd like to first discuss, as we referenced before, and try to just map out all the various dinim emerging, all the various halachos emerging from the din of Lechem Oni, and again, categorize them by, you know, the types of dinim they are. Whether they're, first we go through the chepza-oriented dinim, then we go to the maisa achila-oriented dinim, you know, and then we'll go with so on and so forth. Again, with the overall purpose of proving, you know, how wide in scope, you know, the din of Lechem Oni is. It's not just limited to the type of matzah is required, but again, affects every facet, every aspect of the mitzvah of matzah. Both the type of chetza, the way you eat it, the way you prepare it, and the way, you know, matzah is associated with other, you know, mitzvahs hayom. So starting with the dinim of Lechem Oni, which relate to the chetza itself. So again, let's go to the Gemara in Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Again, let's look and, you know, group all the chepza-oriented dinim of Lechem Oni together. So again, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Yisrael, would you mind starting with the Braisa? See Tana Rabbanon? See like six lines down?
Tana Rabbanon. Yachol Yotza Adam Yinecha Vazor Ben Tashini Mirushalayim. Alam Lechem Oni, Ma'at Nechol Baninis Yotza Zashino.
Okay, so according to this first din, again, this is not chefts oriented. This is called maisa achila oriented. We'll get to this later. Again, this is the sheet of Rabbi Yossi Aglili that you can't make matzah out of maisa sheni. Okay, but we'll get to this is going to be in the category of din lechem oni, which redefines the maisa achila. We'll get back to that. Okay, we're focused now on the chefts oriented dinim. So this brings us to Rabbi Akiva. Or matzos riva.
Matzos riva.
Right, so he rejects that application and goes on to his own.
In
Cain. Right, so what's the first most famous, perhaps most famous example of psul of Lechem Oni? You can't make matzah out of what? Yeah, what do we call that? Generally, it's called matzah ashira. Exactly, famously known as matzah ashira because it's not lechem oni. It's not poor man's bread. It's rich man's bread, and therefore, again, so this is the first, you know, example of a chetza oriented din coming out of lechem oni is the psul of matzah ashira. Okay, let's go on just a little further because for another point. Fine. Okay, so the machok is whether the focus is on the kri or the ksiv. Fine. Now, Rabbi Kiva, go a little further.
Rabbi Kiva, the kriyan be oni kedishul, the rishul achol oni, lacham shonon norm harbe.
Okay, very important. Sorry, so Rabbi Kiva says that while I darshan, you know, the psul of matzah ashira from the ksiv of ani, I also darshan the kri of oni to tell you what then lacham shonim alav devarim harbe, which is a very important halacha, which we'll get back to later. Again, this is not related to the chepta. Again, which basically means what? What do we do over the matzah?
Say a lot of stuff.
Say a lot of stuff. What type of stuff?
Magid.
Exactly. The basic interpretation is magid. We'll get back to that. But again, just for now, it's important to know that we're going to get back to, you know, the issue about whether each drasha is mutually exclusive. And it's clear there would be the same Rabbi Akiva, we'll get back to this, who darshans the psul of matzah ashira from Lechem Oni, also clearly holds of the other nafkamina of Lechem She'onim Olav Dvarim Harbe. We'll get back to that. Well, yeah.
Also, Rashi said, it's also hollow, you say.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, good. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. We'll get back to that when we discuss that particular drash. Okay, so again, so the first din, the first chetza-related din coming out of Lechem Oni is the psul of matzah ashira. The second one, if you turn to Lamed Vav Amud Beis, again, it's hard to know exactly what this means. But if you look at the Braisa on Lamed Vav on the Beis, Svi, do you see it? Three skinny lines up. Tana Rabbanan.
Oh, three skinny
lines. Tana Rabbanan. Yeah, so generally, what does Rashi explain these things as?
Like very, very chashuv.
He's like, somehow chashuv, you know, chashuv breads.
Maybe you have to have like the most lowly.
I mean, in the sense of like the flour you use, right? Okay.
So
you like the tzura. It sounds like not in terms of the not in terms of the ingredients, doesn't have to be oni according to this, but in terms of like the tzura, the way you make the bread, it can't be in a chashuv, where Rashi says, you know, chalad is chashivosi and ashisha is gluska gedola. Basically the tzura of the chefza of matzah has to be one which is not completely chashuv. So again, this is the second chefza oriented din coming out of lechem oni, that again not only can it not have the ingredients of, you know, these chashuv juices, the psula matzah shira, you also have the tzura of the matzah has to be in such a way that it's still defined as lechem oni. So now it's going to bring us to most involved of the chetza oriented. Then we turn to the Gemara and Kuf Tes Vav Amid Beis, moving on to Kuf Tes Zayin Amid Aleph. We're here, the Gemara, back to Arbei Psachim, again is going to, you know, derive a number of dinim out of lechem oni. Again, we're going to focus on the one which is chetza oriented for now. See, Tzvi, would you mind three lines up from the bottom of Kuf Tes Vav Amid Beis? Tanya Mihachi? Right, again, that's we'll get to later. Oh, this is very, very important. Right, this is the last of the chefza oriented dinim, which is what? Ma ani shadarko beprusa avkan beprusa. So what does this tell us? Exactly. This is the din of yachatz. This is the reason why we break the matzah in half to be mekayim lechem oni. Again, another manifestation of lechem oni from the perspective of the chetza. That again, you can't have a full piece of matzah. You know, wealthy, free people have, you know, shleimim. But you know, if you're poor, you can't afford, you know, the shleimim. You can only have a prusa, and this is the makor for yachatz. So now, again, for the rest of today, and moving on to tomorrow, we're going to discuss a number of the issues that arise within this din of prusa. Right, number of dinim, you know, within this din of prusa. The first issue we're going to discuss today is the timing of yachatz. When are you supposed to perform yachatz? When are you supposed to break the matzah in half? So we're going to see that this is a machlokes. And then have the Rambam, if you turn to the Rambam in Perek Ches Halacha Vav, right, the Rambam takes a stand on this issue against our current minhag. Perek Ches, sorry, where is it? Halacha Vav, yeah. Ari, what do you mind? Right, so where is Rambam at this point? He's after Magid, right? After Magid, now you're washing the second time before Motzi Matzah. And now what does he say?
So you break one of them and you put it into the whole one.
Exactly. Okay, we'll get back to the details I know later. But again, it's very clear from the Rambam's presentation of Yachatz that for the Rambam, Yachatz doesn't take place before Magid, like we're accustomed to, but rather after Magid. Basically, you perform the Yachatz, seems like right before you make the brachos of Hamotzi and Alachilas Matzah. So, right, so again, what emerges from the Rambam is that he seems to think that this din of Prusa does not have to be associated with Magid in any way. It's only about the Ma'isa Achila, right? As long as it is a Prusa or the Brachos, as long as it's a Prusa, Bishas Brachos, and Achila, that's fine. But the question that we could, you know, raise now, there's a question that the Rav raises, which is, wait a second, why doesn't the Rambam, again, once you're breaking it, you might as well break it, you know, perform the Yachatz earlier, before Magid? What would be the benefit? What would be the benefit of performing Yachatz before Magid? What's the other din of Lechem Oni? Exactly, right? You'd be able to integrate, connect two dinim of Lechem Oni, right? If you performed the Yachatz before Magid, so then you would be able to have the two dinim of Lechem Oni, one Prusa, and She'onim Alav Dvar Harbe, right? When you say the stuff, right? That when you would be saying Magid, you'd be saying Magid over a Prusa. So the question is, raises the Rav, why does the Rambam you know, specifically say to perform yachatz after Magid, you know, and in doing so gives up the opportunity to really integrate the two dinim of lechem oni, the din number one of prusa, and din number two of, you know, she'onim alav dvarim harbe. So going to be two answers to this question. So Rav Shurkin himself, again, in Hari Kedem, he's the Baal Mechaber. So when they're like brackets, which disagree with what the Rav says, that's presumably Rav Shurkin. So Rav Shurkin answers this question by saying, oh, forget what the Rav's about to say. We'll get to that next. He says, very simple. He's in the simple understanding of the Rambam is that the Rambam doesn't paskin the din lechem oni of the variety of she'onim olav dvarim harbe. Says Rav Shurkin, you never find in the Rambam that the Rambam paskins that din of lechem oni. And says Rav Shurkin, look, the dinim of lechem oni are mutually exclusive. And once the Rambam paskins, right, again, if you look, he's, Rav Shurkin's saying, look, the three dinim of lechem oni coming out of the brisa we just read, kuftes vav amabez to kuftes ayinam alav, there are three dinim. One is she'onim alav dvarim harbe. The next is prusa. And the last one, which we'll get back to, is ma darko shel ani hu masik v'ishta ofe, avkanami hu masik v'ishta ofe. We'll get back, that gets back to the hachana, the maisa afia. Says Rav Shurkin, these three are mutually exclusive. If you paskin like one, that means you negate the other two. So says Rav Shurkin, the Rambam paskins the din of prusa, the second one, and he says that you never find that he paskins, you know, she'onim alav dvar harbe, sorry, lechem she'onim alav dvar harbe, you never find that he paskins the third one of, you know, mat darko shel ani hu masik v'ishta ofe. So says Rav Shurkin, the reason why the Rambam says to perform yachatz after Magid and seems to negate, you know, the added kiyum of doing lechem she'onim alav dvar harbe over the prusa, it's because the Rambam doesn't paskin that din of lechem oni. But the problem with this answer, again, the assumption of this answer is that the dinim of lechem oni are mutually exclusive, right? And the Shurkin seems to be saying once the Rambam paskins prusa memela, that means he's not going to paskin the other ones.
Because I was going to say that the dinim don't seem to have to be connected. Could I have lechem shalom dvarim harbe on a full matzah also? Why does it have to be?
Okay, good. And 100%, that's what the Rambam is going to end up saying. We'll discuss in a couple minutes what would be the value of doing it on the prusa as well, 100%. But so again, just one problem with Shurkin's assumption that the dinim of lechem oni are mutually exclusive is the fact that the Rambam clearly paskins the din of matzah, the psul of matzah ashira. You know, I think I wrote the wrong one on the Imar Makomos. Instead of hey vav, it really should be perik vav halacha hey. We'll just read that now inside, right? In perik vav halacha hey, the Rambam clearly paskins the psul of matzah ashira, of kneading, you know, matzah with these, you know, with the wine and the honey and the milk, and he derives it from the din of lechem oni. So again, if you go to Perek Vav Halacha Hey, you see a couple lines in it of all ein lashon also. Do you see that already?
You know, ein lashon also be yain o shemen o devash o chala yisham lechem oni kamosh baran.
He says, right, you can't knead your matzah with, you know, wine or honey or oil, right, or milk, because of lechem oni. So all I'm saying is that it's hard to explain the Rambam as holding that the dinim of lechem oni are mutually exclusive when the Rambam himself, you know, paskins two dinim. He paskins, rather, two dinim of lechem oni, both the psul of matzah shira and the psul of, and the need for prusa. Just one more point. The other problem with saying this Rav Shurkin idea that the two dinim, again, they're all mutually exclusive, that if you go back to Lamed Vav, when we read Rabbi Akiva, the same Rabbi Akiva, who's the source for the psul of matzah ashira, also holds of what din? What was Rabbi Akiva? How does Rabbi Akiva learn oni, the decree? Right? She'onim alav dvarim harbe. So the fact that the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva's din of matzah ashira, by implication that means he's paskin like Rabbi Akiva, and presumably that means he would paskin like the other aspect of Rabbi Akiva, namely the fact that there's also a din of you know, lechem she'onim olav dvarim harbe. So again, that's all a way of saying this is why the Rav in a second assumes, I'm suggesting, why the Rav assumes that the Rambam does hold of the din of lechem she'onim olav dvarim harbe. Again, just because the Rambam, you know, paskins prusa, that doesn't mean that he doesn't paskin lechem she'onim olav dvarim harbe. And therefore, chazer kusha l'duchta, why, once the Rambam paskins both, so why doesn't he want to, you know, have the prusa b'shas hagala?
Yeah, I guess it's the first kasha and then the second kasha.
Yeah.
If you only have the first kasha, theoretically you could have argued that you can darshan multiple things in terms of anius and poverty, but you can't necessarily understand it to mean poverty and anius dvar.
But Rabbi Kiva does.
Right. So you know, once you have the second kasha, I guess that's irrelevant. And then also.
Because of the kriya ksiv.
Right.
I mean, one of the kriya. Is talent right? The kri is going on the onim part, and the ksiv is going on the ani part. So therefore, you have the two. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Are there any halachic nafkaminas to onin olav dvarim harbe? I mean, you have bav urze, which is already telling you shas matamar nafim lechanecha. So, are you really learning anything?
We'll get there. We'll get there. Meaning, according to the Rambam. Again, according to the Kolbo, we'll see the fact that you're supposed to, you know, do yachatz beforehand. That already could be a nafkamina. But you're asking Kointer Rambam, and we'll get there later. Okay, so the Rambam basically explains that, right? Again, it answers the question of why the Rambam doesn't, you know, perform the yachatz earlier. Is an important, you know, point. He says the Rambam says, what comes out of the Rambam is that while the Rambam holds of multiple dinim of lechem oni, i.e. Prusa and Lechem She'onim Olav Dvarim Harbe, he doesn't think that there's a value in integrating them. It's very important, especially for the contrast we're about to see. Right? The Rav basically says, according to the Rambam, they're independent dinim. Sort of like, you know, what Yisrael is saying. You need a Prusa at some point, and you need to do Lechem She'onim Olav Dvarim Harbe. But you'll do your Lechem She'onim Olav Dvarim Harbe when the matzah is in its state of being a shlema. Right, so again, when you're saying you're halal, you're going to have your matzahs around. You're just going to be shleimim. But again, what comes out of the Rambam, says the Rav, is that the Rambam says that each of these dinim of lechem oni remain independent. Right, there's a chiv of yachatz at some point, and there's a chiv of lechem she'onim olav dvarim harbe at a different point. But you don't need, says the Rav, b'shem the Rambam, you don't need to integrate them to specifically have lechem she'onim olav dvarim harbe on prusa. So that's what comes out of the Rambam. Again, it's explained by the Rav, that the Rambam holds of these multiple dinim, but doesn't think these multiple dinim integrate in any way. So that, you'll see the foil, that's going to bring us to the other shita. Again, the first shita of the Rambam is that, in terms of the timing of Yachatz, is that, right, according to the Rambam, that the timing of Yachatz takes place after Magid, right before you make the brachos and you're about to eat them. What's the makor, which is the basis of, you know, the Psak and Shulchan Aruch and our minog to perform yachatz before Magid, quoted by the Beis Yosef? It's the Kolbo. If you look at the Beis Yosef again on the Marmakomos, the Beis Yosef in Simen Tav Ayin Gimel and Sif Vav, and this is paskened by the Shulchan Aruch again in Tav Ayin Gimel Sif Vav. The Kolbo writes that no, you're supposed to perform the yachatz, supposed to perform the din prusa. Form the yachas, which, you know, gets you that the prusa specifically before Magid, and the question is why. And the Kolbo, you know, offers three different explanations of why you're supposed to do the yachas beforehand. Two of the explanations are going to be technical in nature, and one of them is going to be very fundamental. So I'll start off with the technical. The technical explanations, right? So the first technical explanation of the Kolbo, I think it's the second one, is, you know, whenever in doubt. You say, whenever you have a question about the Seder, why do we do this? What's the basic answer?
The question.
So the kids will ask, right? That's like always, you know, the basic, you know, the go-to, right? And in fact, the Kolbo says, why do you do Yachatz before Magid? Kedisha yishilu atinokos. Right? He says, v'yish omrim, is the second answer of the Kolbo here. Shu kedisha yiru atinokos, v'yishilu mipnei ma anu matmirim hamatza v'adayin lo achlenu. Right? It seems more weird, right, to break the matzah, to be fiddling with the matzahs, you know, way before we're eating them. So, says the Kolbon, the second answer, technical reason, that's a way of triggering the kids to ask, to, you know, keep them engaged. Oh. Second technical answer offered by the Kolbon, is his last answer, is, you know, it's going to be very, again, interesting, is that we're worried that a person is going to eat the matzos prematurely. But once you break them earlier, they'll be like a hecker to stay away. And just, you know, Tzvi, do you see the last Tzviya Shomer?
Yeah.
Kidei? Right, so we break it, we hide it on the side so that, you know, no one ends, you know, especially if you like matzah, if you get good matzah, you know, it can be very tasty. And especially at, you know, point of the maggid, if it's, you know, dragging along, you'd be very hungry. Definitely have a taiva to, you know, take a chop, you know, take a munch in the matzah. So it says, break it and put it off to the side so you don't have any worries. Again, these are all technical reasons which don't relate in any way to, like, you know, the nature of lechem oni. Oh. But that brings us to the fundamental explanation of the Kolbo, which is his first explanation. Who wants to do the honors? Willie, do you have the sheet in front of you?
Yeah.
Go back to the beginning. Okay, so what's his first fundamental answer?
Make sure that you have din prusa for halak ma'anya.
Exactly. Right. And so again, the Rav, again, because fundamentalizes this even more. Again, all the Kolbo says is that you want to have the din prusa when you're saying halak ma'anya. So you could claim that all the Kolbo is saying is that since halak ma'anya is all focused on, you know, it being a poor man's bread, so then it's, you know, a greater, you know, greater symbol of it being a poor man's bread when you, you know, when you have it broken already. So again, it could be that all the Kolbo is saying is that you want to break it before halak ma'anya so that you, when you pick up the matzah during halak ma'anya, you know, it looks like poor man's bread. Okay. But the Rav, you know, again, is in Hari Kedem, suggests something a little more fundamental and says that it's not just about, oh, having a prusa during halak ma'anya so it's a better symbol of halak ma'anya, but it's rather, again, about integrating the two dinim of lechem oni. It's about integrating the din prusa with the other din of lechem she'onim olav dvarim harbe. And the way the Rav understands this first, you know, explanation of the Kolbo is that you specifically want to do the yachatz, right, before magid, so that when you're performing magid and you're fulfilling the din lechem oni of lechem she'onim olav dvarim harbe, that you're saying magid over the matzah, you want to specifically be reciting, you know, you want to be saying the Dvarim Harbe over the matzah, which is Lechem Oni, al yedei being a prusa. And again, what would emerge from this Kolbo, says the Rav, that in contrast to the Rambam, who, again, assuming that he paskins these two dinim of Lechem Oni, there is Lechem She'onim Olav Dvarim Harbe, and there's a din of prusa, but for the Rambam, they don't integrate, and you could form them separately. But for the Kolbo, according to the understanding, that no, that the two manifestations of Lechem Oni, again, integrate together such that there's an added kiyum by fulfilling them all together, which has become an important idea. Again, it highlights not only are the different dinim of lechem oni not mutually, you know, exclusive like Rav Shurkin assumes, but again, one could say they're mutually reinforcing, right? In the sense that because all the dinim of lechem oni are all about reinforcing the same theme of lechem oni of shibud. So again, the more ways you're able to manifest that shibud, the better, right? The more, so therefore, it's not just, instead of saying, like, it's the opposite of shurken, instead of saying, oh, each one is mutually exclusive, you say, no, not only can you have multiple ones, but the multiple ones, you know, integrate with one another, because when you perform them all together, you have a greater, an even greater expression of lechem oni, of the theme of shibud that we're trying to accomplish. Yeah. Oh, you're done. Here, retract.
In terms of the idea of the Rambam, yeah. The Rambam isn't saying that there's no need to integrate the two, but rather that it's impossible. Meaning, maybe Rambam thinks that prusa is not a din of chetza shel matza, din of maisa achila. Therefore, it's not really relevant. You know, it's only relevant as part of as a liyach.
Okay, that's interesting. Again, the lashon of the drasha doesn't sound like that. That's all I'm saying. Meaning, ma anish darko bit prusa. Again, I guess it might be a little open. I always assume the oni has prusos. again, if it was about the achila, so then number one, you'd want the lashon to be focused on matdarko le'echol prusa, perhaps. Number two is interesting is that clearly there are going to be rishonim who argue on that, because again, we have to figure out the Rambam holds, because there's some rishonim such as the Tosos we did in the realm of Haseba, who says that lechem oni doesn't, you know, carry over to the realm of ma'aseh achila. So again, most rishonim assume that prusa is a din in the chatzah, such that they're saying, oh yeah, me'echitesi, that lechem oni even extends to the realm of a ma'aseh achila. Meaning, so all I'm saying is that many rishonim assume against that. Could be because the lashon of the drasha has no reference to achila. But again, you're right. It's not. That's not mukhra, because it doesn't really say. It just says ma oni beprusa. You know, it's all open to.
Right. Yeah. And that also raises the question of what extent we're focused on the ma'isa of yachatz. Right. Meaning, the more you say that prusa is a din in the cheftza, the more
tata.
You could do the yachatz. Right. You could do the yachatz. Maybe you should do the yachatz before Pesach. You know. Come in with a real matzah, which is a prusa.
Okay.
Whereas maybe the Rambam is focusing on after the maisa of prusa. Like, I don't know, the Rav has this idea of like madarko shalim beprusa. Part of the idea is then ani shares. That's part of the values that we're trying to transmit here.
Oh, okay. But yeah, that on the and within that, you're saying the maisa would take on significance because like part of the act of sharing. Mm-hmm. Okay, could be. Yeah.
I was gonna say, how can the prusa be a din in the ma'aseh achila?
Turn around. Yeah.
Yeah.
You seem to ask me questions. I don't. Yeah. How?
How could prusa be a din in the ma'aseh achila? If it's, I mean, it's pretty normal to eat. I mean, not
in the beginning of your eating. No,
yeah, I mean, not just like sociologically.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
I don't mean like in the technical ma'aseh achila sense. Meaning, it surrounds the ma'aseh achila.
Is that which you're partaking is of broken bread? Right.
Kind of like the Mishnah, right? There's like a whole process of like the Betzia and starting off with a certain.
Yeah, we're gonna get there.
Right.
Yeah, like that's next. That's next. Yeah. But again, it's all about the Tchila. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So again, so far we just discussed one issue within Prusa, which is the timing of the Yachatz. Again, Machlokes Rambam and Kobo. And, you know, potentially Machlokes about, you know, the integration of the various dinim of Lechem Oni. Oh. So now moving on to the second and last issue we discussed today is the impact of this din prusa on lechem mishnah. And we're going to see right now that there's going to be a huge machlokes about whether this din of lechem oni and the din prusa is going to redefine the type of lechem mishnah required on Pesach itself. So this comes down to the fact that generally, what do you need for lechem mishnah? What types of chalos? Shleimim. Right? Generally, the gedder of lechem mishnah, you know, b'chol Shabbos, b'chol Yontif, is to need two shleimim. And the big question is, wait a second, if you're breaking the matzah to fulfill prusa, so then how are you going to accomplish lechem mishnah? So one group of rishonim say, not a problem, three matzos. So you're going to have two shleimim, this is what we do, right? Two shleimim to fulfill lechem mishnah, and you're going to only break the third matzah to fulfill the din of lechem oni. So again, this first approach, we'll see, this is Rashi in the daf, the Rashbam in the daf, Tosfos on the daf, get all of Kriptezayim and Aleph, that goes from Ammonius, presents this, and the Shulchan Aruch passing this. Let's just read a couple of them inside. Let's look at least Rashi and the Rashbam. Am Yisrael, would you mind top Rashi? Exactly. Right. So the Rashi explicitly says that you're going to break the prusa is going to be your third matzah, but then you need two other shleimim in order to fulfill the din of lechem mishnah. Because says Rashi, why would this be worse than you? There's all meaning. There's a din of lechem mishnah, there's a din of lechem oni, but there's also a din of lechem mishnah. So what's the connection? So fulfill lechem oni, but that's not going to take away, the need for a din of lechem mishnah. So therefore, you have to do both: third matzah, break it for lechem oni, and then two other shleimim to fulfill the din b'chol hashana of lechem mishnah. And the Rashbam also. Exactly. That's what Rashbam, again, like his grandfather, again, assumes that you need two separate pshalimim in order to fulfill lechem oni. Because again, and this is the simple pshat, there's no connection between lechem oni and lechem mishnah, besides the word lechem, right? So, two different dinim, and therefore you have to fulfill both. There's no way one to redefine the other. So again, that's Rashi, that's Rashbam. Again, Tosos Dirumasul Madarko also assumes this. Again, we'll read this inside tomorrow. And again, also the Hagos Ammonios on the Rambam, Perek Ches Alachavav. We'll see the Rambam does not say like this. Hagos Ammonios points out, you know, which is his want to, you know, quote the Minhag of Ashkenaz. Again, he says, oh, you know, quotes others who say you need three. And the Shulchan Aruch in Tuf, Ayin, Hey, Sif, Aleph, again, clearly Paskins this way, that you need three in total. Therefore, you break the third, and you remaining have two remaining shleimim to fulfill lechem mishnah. Yeah.
What's the makor for shleimim for lechem mishnah?
We'll see that in a second. It comes up in the Gemara there. Is in the Gemara in Brachos. But in stark contrast to the first group of Rishonim we just quoted, which say that you need three matzos in order to fulfill lechem mishnah with two shleimim, you have another set of Rishonim who hold that no, all you need is two matzos in total, and you're able to break your second matzah. Oh, if you're breaking your second matzah, then you don't have two shleimim for lechem mishnah. Say all these Rishonim in a very lumdish way. The din of lechem oni redefines the din b'chol hashana of lechem mishnah. And therefore, even though the din of lechem mishnah b'chol hashana kula requires two shleimim, here the geder of lechem mishnah includes a prusa, because that's what lechem oni teaches us. Again, we'll get back to this, but again, this is a highlight, which I was referencing it during the Hakdama, to the outsized role of lechem oni, that again, the fact that this din of lechem oni is redefining universal institutions such as lechem mishnah shows that lechem oni is a very important, definitional din on Pesach, and therefore it's going to redefine all these halachos. If you just saw lechem oni as a side, prat, it's a side kiyum, or even a single din, that wouldn't necessarily justify why you'd find lechem oni redefining lechem mishnah. So again, the Mefarshim who say this, to go through them, and one is the Rif. So again, if you turn to the Rif on Chaf Hei Amid Beis, Bedape HaRif, or Bedapav, it's a whole piece here. We'll just skip to 2, 4. Six wide lines down, starting halfway through where it says Hilkach Be'inan. Oh, you have a different. Did you see it, Tzvi? Yeah, go for it, Tzvi. Right, this is a side point, meaning the Rishonim al Atar basically discuss, is there this lechem mishnah, is that limited to Shabbos, or is it also applied to Yom Tov? Oh, so the Rishonim say no, right? They all say, oh, not only is lechem mishnah a din in Shabbos, it also is a din in Yom Tov. So now the question is, Pesach is a Yom Tov. Oh, it's a very lumdish lashon, right? Comes the din of lechem oni and takes away, the half of one of them, in lumdish terms. Comes along the din of lechem oni and redefines the din of lechem mishnah. Hilkach, right? Betzinan achadu upaga. You only end up doing one and a half. Again, very, very great lashon by the Rif of the din of lechem oni, again redefining the din of lechem mishnah. And the Rambam in Perek Ches Halacha Vav also, I think we read this in the past, also says this. Again, Perek Ches Halacha Vav. Right after he says that you do the yachatz, then he asks what about lechem mishnah? So you remember Neima?
Yeah, Neima. Ein mavarich al shtei kikaros kishar yam tovim. Mishum shenema lechem oni matay kishan lebrikus avkan
lebrikus. That's again less clear in terms of not as striking as the Rif's formulation, but again clearly saying that lechem oni basically redefines lechem mishnah. So again you have the Rif, Chafei Yom Beis, and the Rambam in Perek Ches Halacha Vav again, and then you have I don't know if you guys are able to see the Tosafot Rashi. We need to fry in the Erie to bring it in. Ultra Chachma. But the Tosfos Rosh, again, on Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, again, I'll just tell it to you outside. And I have some of the Lashon here. He's Medayik from the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Dalet, when the Mishnah says, Hey, view the fun of matzah. So he says, oh, it seems like you're only bringing one shalem matzah, or one matzah shlema. So says the Tosa, so the Tosa Rush says, oh, you see from the, right, this diuk in the Mishnah Kuf Yud Dalet, that all you need is one shlema. But then he asks the obvious question, what about Lecha Mishnah? It also has a very lumdish formulation like the Rif. He says, Da'asa Lechem Oni, V'gar'ase L'Lechem Mishnah V'ukmei Aprusa. Again, the similar lashon to the Rif, that the din of Lechem Oni comes along. It seems like you have like a clash of dinim, right? Clash of Lechem Oni on the one hand, which says Prusa, and the din of Lechem Mishnah, which requires Shlemim, and says, no, Lechem Oni wins out and redefines Lechem Oni to Lechem Mishnah to say that you can fulfill Lechem. Again, it's not that. It's not that we waive Lecha Mishnah. It's not like, okay, but Malkum Lecha Moni, you're not going to fulfill Lecha Mishnah. But no, the Lecha Mishnah is now redefined. This is the Lechem of Pesach. Again, as we pointed out before, the fact, according to the Rif, the Rambam, and Tosfos Rosh, you find the din of Lechem Oni redefining other institutions, you know, again, is very telling in terms of the significance of Lechem Oni. One last point, and with this we'll conclude, is that you can raise a question. Wait a second. If Lechem Oni is all about redefining what Lechem is on Pesach, so then why not be both? Why not perform Yachatz on both? Why just have everything be Lechem Oni? Why not do Yachatz on both? Lechem Oni. That's the Lechem of the night. So again, one suggestion I heard is, you know, in the name of the Rav. I heard this in the name of the Rav, which is an interesting idea, that you only have a Shem Prusa when it's contrasted with a Shlema. And therefore, you need the Shlema there just to grant the Prusa a Shem Prusa. Again, because it's only significant that you have a Prusa there when, oh, you have a Shlema, you know, side by side, which highlights the fact that you broke it in half on purpose, not just because your matzah's got, you know, broken in the luggage. And the last point is that it's possible that this might suggest, remember back to approach 2A, which said that within matzah you have these two distinct themes. You have the theme of shibud and the theme of geula. So within that approach, you can answer this question very easily. That you don't want to have everything be a prusa, because you want to have these two dinim side by side. So you have the prusa, which highlights the theme of shibud, alongside the Shlema, which highlights the theme of Geula. So again, if you take approach 2A, which say the two distinct dinim, which don't integrate, so that would be a justification for why you specifically want to have one and one. One Prusa to highlight the Shibud theme, and one Shlema to highlight the Geula theme. And we'll pick up the rest tomorrow.